This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Greentop Grocery is reporting to its owners about progress toward financial stability. Michael Gorman is the head of the board.
We are doing a lot better than we were at the beginning of the year.
An update on the co-op's changes with GLT's Mary Cullen and how far the co-op needs to go to remain viable. Plus, Larry Karius tells us about three new places to eat as we hear about the Bloomington Normal restaurant scene. Eric Stock reports on food waste and how to reduce it and find out about young farmers and the impact they hope to make on the local food scene. All that and a GLT News update on the way. This is Sound Ideas on GLT.
Support for the Sound Ideas podcast comes from GLT listeners. Join the community of news consumers who listen to Sound Ideas and are also willing to support it financially. Learn more about listener-supported radio and GLT at WGLT.org.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Greentop Grocery has spent the last several months adjusting its business to slow a significant operating loss. A co-op that focuses on locally sourced foods opened in the spring of 2017. A year in, Greentop was on pace to run out of money by the end of this year. At the time, sales were half of what they needed to be. And though things have improved by 30%, the remaining 70% increase has yet to materialize. Greentop Board President Michael Gorman acknowledges more needs to happen to have the business continue. In July, Greentop hired Krista Kramer, a veteran from the Whole Foods chain. GLT's Mary Cullen sits down with Kramer and Michael Gorman to talk about changes and what customers can expect from Greentop in the future.
We are doing a lot better than we were at the beginning of the year. Sales have grown about 30% since then, week over week. And we've taken a lot of steps to improve the store and make it more community-focused and more what our owners are looking for.
We've seen reports of a turnaround effort. What exactly did that effort include?
The turnaround plan is a whole lot of different things all put into one list of items, and we're still working on implementing it. There's a lot still to go, but we've also accomplished a lot, which is why sales have grown 30% since April. Some of the things that we've done, we have hired a new general manager. That's Krista, who's here with me today. We have implemented new sales. We've implemented a new program called Greentop Essentials, which has about 80 different items throughout the store that are sort of your basics for your pantry, things like milk and canned tomatoes and things like that. And with those items, we're taking basically no margin. We're not upping the price from what we get it from our suppliers, just to make sure that the store is accessible to as many community members as possible. And through all those sorts of things, we are growing our sales and we're growing our business and we're on track for sustainability.
Customers in the past have complained about high-priced goods. I believe you addressed those concerns in a story by GLT earlier this year, saying that prices would drop some, but that local food comes at a cost. That was from your previous general manager. What changes have been made to further address the concern of high prices?
So speaking to what we do with our local providers, we've worked out deals with them consistently with our buyers to make sure that we're bringing in fresh products consistently and rotating through products and doing discounts through our providers to our customers. We are also striving to bring in new products from vendors and brokers, and we are also getting discounts on those as well, which we can translate to our customers. So there's a lot of efforts in multiple areas across the store that we're working on right now.
So I know you both brought in some fact sheets with some data explaining the changes that we've seen in Greentop. Can you highlight a few of those changes?
Yeah, one of the ones that I'm most proud of is our You Snap, We Match program, which we're the first grocery store in the state of Illinois to receive this grant that allows us to, for every dollar that someone spends on local produce, through their SNAP card, used to be called food stamps, we're able to match that dollar. We give them a voucher. They can use that either at Greentop or at the downtown Bloomington Farmers Market. We've given away more than $8,000 vouchers through that program so far, so we're really proud of that.
I have to say the SNAP program is one of my favorites, and that's one program that has not really had a light shined on it, and we've been really pushing for everyone to see what we have provided in the store for our community. That's probably been one of my favorites as well, because Greentop is accessible to every single person in the community. And that's probably one of my biggest drives right now, is making sure people feel comfortable coming into the store, seeing the price differences, and being able to utilize a program like the SNAP program.
Before Krista was hired, there was an interim GM who was somewhat of a turnaround specialist. What is the biggest change that you saw come from that experience?
You know, we brought in Tim Sullivan as an interim GM so that we had time to find someone like Krista, who's just the perfect person to lead our store for the long term. And Tim did a lot of really amazing things. He focused very heavily on pricing, so he looked at individual product categories and figured out, is our margin appropriate here? Are we too high versus our competitors? Things like that, that a lot of people might not have noticed individually, but on the whole, it's really helped us grow our store. During his time, we also made some major facelifts at the store, right? So we repainted. We put up about a dozen different giant farmer profiles on the wall to really highlight the fact that we're getting food from local producers. We're having more events, so we have live music pretty frequently now. We have classes in the teaching kitchen. We're doing a lot more things just to really make it a community space.
So you guys just opened, I believe that was spring of 2017?
Correct.
What have you learned?
Gosh, I mean, every startup business learns a lot in its first year. And now that we're over the one-year mark, there's just a ton. You know, as you mentioned at the beginning of the interview, our sales were not where we expected them to be at the beginning of last year. And we've been, you know, analyzing sort of why that might have happened. It's a pretty competitive business landscape out there, and even some of the most successful grocery stores in the world only have a 1% margin. So really, it's a lot. We've learned a lot about finances. We've learned a lot about how to run a grocery store.
So the Bloomington City Council approved a request that would allow Greentop patrons to drink alcoholic purchases on site. What will this do for Greentop's business?
I think it will give us the ability to give our customers the best shopping experience possible. A lot of our customers walk into our store from their homes directly, and I think this would be just a great addition to them being able to sit out in the public space and be able to enjoy a beverage.
And especially during, you know, teaching kitchen classes, right, we would like to be able to have wine pairing classes. And we're not talking about making this a rowdy, you know, bar-like scene or anything like that. More somewhat like the garlic press model, where they have, you know, very reasonable consumption on site. But just because our liquor license didn't allow it before, we did ask the city to expand the scope of our license slightly to allow us to do that.
Krista, let's talk about you a little bit. You were hired as the new GM, I believe, in the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you bring to the table?
There's been a lot of press about me coming into town, obviously. And my background is grocery. I learned a lot from my previous job. I really enjoyed working with the community around me, and I just continue to drive for that. And Greentop was probably the best fit for me, moving down to Bloomington and being able to utilize my merchandising, my safety standards. Greentop to me is just the greatest business model. You're supporting the community, you're supporting your local vendors, you're supporting fair trade. It's everything that I've learned in my previous job to the umph level. And I just look at my job as being a service to the community. And I just want to continue driving that and experiencing more and more things. And I just keep learning more and more each day.
So you're coming and you're joining Bloomington from the Chicagoland area. How does your background in Whole Foods assist in Green Top's developing business model?
So I look at how Whole Foods really emphasized working around with communities, working with conscious vendors, and Green Top's business model is very similar in that. But I have the opportunity to be able to utilize more of my local vendors based off of what we feel is high quality. We are able to really pick and choose who is correct for our store and supporting our customers to the team members, to the vendors, to the farmers from farm to plate. I just feel like Whole Foods has kind of set me up for my career with Green Top. It was bittersweet for me to leave Whole Foods, but I feel like I was on a mission to find something bigger and better for myself as a person, and then also to be more of a substantial team member of the community.
Right. So obviously from your 8 years as a manager at Whole Foods, you bring a lot of experience and expertise to the area. However, Whole Foods is a large chain store and Green Top is a local co-op. So how is your role different in a smaller business?
So looking at how Green Top is, I'm running that store. I had at Whole Foods other individuals that I would reach out to for certain things. I've learned that business maintenance of the store, very important. Making sure that you're keeping up on safety standards. Equipment failures are fun to deal with. Everybody loves those. I'm firsthand now dealing with that directly, where before I had a lifeline in a sense. Now it's on me, and I've learned a whole lot over the past 2 months that I've been here. And my experience prior has set me up for that in dealing with anything that would come my way. So I think it was a very good learning experience for me to work at Whole Foods for as long as I did. And Whole Foods had gone through a lot of different phases where the stores were very individual and then moving to more of a corporate model, which is fine for them. But Green Top brings me back down to relying on myself, relying on the team members, and relying on my vendors and my farmers and the community. And I like the grassroots feeling of how Green Top works. It's all on us.
GLT's Mary Cullen spoke with Green Top Board President Michael Gorman and with Krista Kramer, the new general manager of Green Top. In the 7 months from opening to the end of 2017, Green Top added 139 new owners. So far this year, the co-op has welcomed more than 200 owners. Green Top is briefing its owners at a special meeting this evening about future needs and requirements to keep the business open. GLT report on those initiatives at WGLT.org.
Support for GLT comes from Prairie Rivers Network, advocating for clean water and healthy rivers. They present the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, 11 short films focusing on the planet's environmental concerns and celebrations, Wednesday, September 19th, 7 o'clock at the Normal Theater. Information at prairierivers.org. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Still to come, Eric Stock reports on food waste and reducing it in central Illinois. It's not unusual for new restaurants openings to attract a lot of interest. Larry Carius writes about the Bloomington Normal restaurant scene on Facebook. He says that remains true not just for chains, but for locally owned restaurants as well.
The three that recently opened are doing outstanding. Ann and Ken Clem, who are local people, they've wanted to open a restaurant for years. They finally decided to do it. They run the Kansas City Barbecue Society tour for several summers, and they took over the PT's Barbecue place on North Clinton Avenue. They are doing outstanding, and it's fairly close to my house, and I probably stop by just a little bit too frequently. Tony's Tacos in downtown Bloomington opened in the former 11 restaurant, which is right aside of Jazz Up Front on West Front Street. Jesus and Nora and Jerry are just doing a fabulous business. And, of course, Charlie, you will remember that this will be their second Tony's Tacos. They opened up one 3 or 4 years ago in the corner of Willow and Main in Normal, which is doing well. And a third one that opened, that for the most part is locally owned, is Hacienda Leon in the former Migs Buffet on North Hershey in Bloomington. And this place is going gangbusters. So we have three locally owned places that open, and all three of them are doing very well.
There is one that is soon to open or is under construction right now. Now, normally a Domino's Pizza would not be of great moment or interest for us, but what is a Domino's Pizza Theater store?
I won't try to say this nicely, but their theater store is apparently they've added several tables in a place, and the theater is you can watch the pizza being made. Well, when you have a pickup at Tobin's Pizza, you can see the pizza. You can see a real kitchen that's in action this making pizza. And I kind of have I'm not sure how this is going to go. I'm going to be interested to see.
The location is good.
Excellent. Excellent location. It's right out in front of Myers on East College. But I just personally never thought of watching pizza being made as being called a theater store.
How are the plans to open the Grand Cafe Express progressing?
They're moving along very well. In fact, I just talked with the owner, Jimmy Mapugai. They will be opening in September, but in the restaurant business, things don't always go quite as planned.
And that's on West Market Street.
In the former Yenching Express location.
There's a new concept coming to town that should be opening soon, Jack Cafe. Tell us about that.
I was very surprised at this. This is going into the former dry cleaner laundromat location across Landmark Plaza from Kroger. The owner of the building, who is also going to do the restaurant, told me the laundromat will stay there, but he's putting a restaurant in the dry cleaning part of it. They've actually gutted that space, but they haven't started on the restaurant. He's bringing in what he calls a New York concept. It's only going to seat 60 or 65 people. It's going to be a nice restaurant, quote unquote. He said entrees are probably going to go around $20 each. But what the unusual part of it is, when you come in and sit down and wait for your server and they ask you for drinks, this nice restaurant is not going to have an alcohol license. So at the time when you, in my case, I would order a glass of wine, or a lot of people's case, order a cocktail or a beer, they will show you that there, I guess, is going to be a beautiful juice bar along with the one wall, all freshly, squeezed juices, all fresh juices. So rather than have a beer or a glass of wine or a cocktail, you will be offered a freshly squeezed juice glass. He's bringing in a chef who has worked in five-star restaurants in Florida and in New York City. And he also told me that he has a friend in New York City who is a restaurant designer. He showed me several photos of existing restaurants out in New York City. The walls and the ceilings, they were just very eclectic, very different. If the local restaurant is the same as the photos he showed me, this is going to be something different for Bloomington Normal. But the most different part of it is they will not have an alcohol license. And quite frankly, when I go out to eat at a nice restaurant, I like to have a glass of wine.
Does a nice restaurant go well with a laundromat next door and a Kroger across the street?
We're going to find out. I'm just not sure.
If you've had your juice and your lovely dinner, you might want a dessert, and there's a new place that you'll be able to get that.
Dollface Desserts is coming to the former Ryan Pharmacy location on East Oakland Avenue in Bloomington. And not only is she going to have desserts, it's also going to be a bakery. She's going to offer the donut rolls, all the different bakery items. In the morning in that, she is going to have seating for the coffee. Mary Hudson, who is the owner, she's a younger person, of course. Everybody's a younger person to me these days, who just has a super interest in baking, and she learned a lot of it from her grandmother. And she says, in her words, she's going to be offering some different items, some different flavors that you really can't find in the Bloomington Normal. So, again, this is reasonably close to my house, and we may live a little too close to it.
State Farm insurance workers have had their eye on a new thing that has been coming for some time. How close are they to having their hopes fulfilled?
McAllister's Deli. They opened on Labor Day. They're located near Corporate South on South Veterans Parkway, right near the Taco Bell CVS Pharmacy, CEFQ, right in that area.
Normally, we like to pay attention to more locally owned restaurants, but you mentioned Taco Bell, and there is an interesting data point for at least one Taco Bell in the Twin Cities. Tell us about that.
The Taco Bell on East College Avenue is the highest volume, highest sales Taco Bell south of I-80. This is a title that has held for several years. There are some interesting things I've found about it. 60 to 65% of their sales are by drive-through.
Is that unusual for Taco Bell's?
In the local Taco Bell's that Bud Jenkins, who's the franchisee and president of 15 Central Illinois Taco Bell, said that they have higher percentage, all their Taco Bell's, that they have a higher percentage of sales is the drive-through. But not only this is the highest volume, this has the highest percentage of a drive-through.
What is it about that space, then, that is succeeding so well?
I think it's probably the location more than anything.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Larry Karius, who writes about the Bloomington Normal restaurant scene on Facebook, currently with more than 20,000 followers. Any anniversaries that we should pay attention to?
Yes, and I would like to mention the downtown Bloomington anniversaries. Anybody who's listened to me over the years, I'm a huge fan of downtown Bloomington. And Michael's just celebrated 18 years, Michael's Restaurant. When I was talking to the owner, Ron Derseski, that I asked him, I said, Ron, 18 years is a long time in downtown Bloomington. What's the biggest change you've seen in your 18 years? And he had a ready answer. It was just a factual actor. And he said that the biggest change he's seen is that when he started 18 years ago, there were a lot of people employed in downtown Bloomington. Of course, at that time, the big State Farm building was full, and you know, there were, well, you've been around
there was
too, Charlie.
There were substantial lunch trade, yeah.
Yeah, they just had a lot of employees. And that's changed. That's one of the big things that has changed. And he said as far as his restaurant, he's had to change some of his ideas, some of his operations to keep up with the changing downtown.
What has he done to adapt?
He has changed various things over the years. He started out buffets, got away from a little bit, came back, and got away of it. He has the longest Sunday brunch buffet that's being offered in Bloomington Normal. And to use Ron's words, his is the only American buffet, using the finger quotes. He started that Sunday buffet when he opened the restaurant 18 years ago. He does a good business. He draws a lot of people in on Sunday, and actually they have become well-known for their Sunday buffet.
Bloomington Normal is a small enough town that there are a few chefs that attract a following. they usually tend to be upscale restaurants, but not always. Is there one that has attracted a little bit of interest by moving from somewhere to another place?
Well, the fans who have been following me over the years, they will remember that the sushi franchise or the sushi station at Fresh Market, it was one time one of the highest volume or highest sales per lineal foot throughout the Fresh Market chain. And then there's another chain out in California.
And Fresh Market now is closed, so where has that chef gone?
Well, he is now at Fresh Time. Chef Thomas, I think he was out at Fresh Market 5 to 7, 8 years. I ate his sushi. I was enjoyed Fresh Time, Chef Thomas. Really, I didn't talk to him before the store closed. And then about 2 weeks or 3 weeks after the store closed, here's Chef Thomas at Fresh Time. When I wrote about that, I did not know how popular that post was going to be. I was amazed, absolutely amazed, how popular the post was, how many times it was shared. I did not know how big of a fan following that sushi chef Thomas has.
Larry Karius writes about the Bloomington Normal restaurant scene on Facebook and what people are paying attention to. More than 20,000 people actually check in on the Bloomington Normal restaurant scene from time to time. GLT continues its food-themed Sound Ideas episode in just a moment. This is 89.1 and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.
Why public radio? During this upcoming fund drive, we turn to GLT contributing listeners for answers.
Hi, I'm Norris Porter.
There are a lot of answers, but also some common threads. It's fact-based. It's an avenue for lifelong learning, and it's local.
What I'm looking for is unbiased, balanced news. I want to know what's going on.
What's your answer to Why Public Radio, and will you financially support GLT?
Join me with your pledge now. Go online to WGLT.org.
Support for GLT comes from the Community Cancer Center, dedicated to increasing cancer survivorship by providing leadership, prevention, and integrative state-of-the-art services covering the continuum of care. Located at 407 East Vernon in Normal. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Coming up, Ryan Denham reports on another entry in the local food movement. The National Resource Defense Council estimates up to 40% of all food produced in the U.S. goes to waste, even though 1 in 8 Americans struggles to put enough food on the table. GLT's Eric Stock looks into the causes of food waste in America, what some local restaurateurs, producers, and charities are doing to reduce food waste, and how a new state law is helping some farmers find new uses for produce that might otherwise end up in a landfill.
Chef Ken Mischke is in one of his three kitchens at Epiphany Farms restaurant in Bloomington as his staff prepares for the night's customers. As an environmentally conscious owner of three farm-to-table restaurants in McLean County, Mischke hates to throw out any food at all.
Most kitchens that I go in that I'm not managing, I see so much waste just from neglect of taking the 30 seconds to scrape out the pan.
Mischke symbolizes this through what he calls a million-dollar spatula. It's an exaggeration, he admits, but the point is clear. Don't waste a single drop.
If you do a good job of scraping out all the pots and pans, and every time you make a recipe or every time you change a container with a spatula, then over the life of that spatula, that thing could become worth up to $1 million.
Mischke conveys his food waste mantra to his customers. Servers write the date on customers' carryout boxes so they have a reminder of how long they have to eat it. He says limiting food waste is especially challenging when working with raw produce, which typically has a 1 week shelf life. But he says whether it's pork, eggs, or radishes, anything that's been sitting for more than a few days ends up in what he calls the family meal, which happens daily at each of his restaurants, Epiphany Farms at Anjou Above in Bloomington, at Old Bank in Leroy, and at his farm in Downs. Staff prepares a meal for all of his 165 employees with a food that's showing some age but still good. That keeps the food for his customers the freshest, and there's an added benefit.
It's the base of our culture. It's like, you know, a happy family sits down and has a meal together, and they have a conversation, and they get to know each other, and they enjoy a meal, and that's really what this is all about.
Food waste isn't just a problem in restaurants. It's a major issue for grocery stores. Mike Hoffman, logistics director at Midwest Food Bank at Normal, says we, the consumers, are largely to blame.
If you go to the grocery store and you have two pieces of fruit in front of you, one has a slight blemish on it and one doesn't have any blemish on it, we're all going to take the one with this perfect. We like everything really nice, right?
It's gotten to the point, Hoffman says, stores will turn away entire truckloads of apples, for example, because some look less than perfect, perhaps proving the old adage that one bad apple really can spoil a whole barrel.
It boils down to you and me, the average consumer, who's saying, look, there's nothing wrong with that fruit, but we all want the best. And that's kind of the way we are in America. We've been groomed that way.
That's where agencies like Midwest Food Bank step in. Food haulers turned away from the stores will deliver their still perfectly good produce to the food bank and its new 100,000-square-foot warehouse, where it gets repackaged into family-sized containers that can feed families for weeks. Several dozen food banks in McLean County come in weekly to pick up truckloads of food to deliver to families in need. It's an effort that relies heavily on volunteers.
The group repackaging thing. I think they're repackaging cereal today.
Midwest volunteers put in 220,000 hours of free labor at each of its eight locations in the U.S. and Kenya, all so the good food doesn't go to waste while many go hungry.
There's a lot of waste out there, and we're recovering as much as we can. I'm just thankful for every piece of food that's in this warehouse that we can give out that way, because that's something that's not going into landfills, not getting wasted. And the bigger picture is we are serving people that are in need, that need a little help.
There are other charities which help to distribute food that might otherwise be destined for the landfill. Isaac Simmons is a volunteer for Veggie Oasis. Each week, he and other volunteers arrive at the end of Bloomington's weekly farmers market, hauling a wheelbarrow, offering to take the merchant's leftover produce to give to families in need. Simmons says he saw firsthand how many families were struggling with access to healthy food when he worked at the market last year.
That kind of woke me up to the food insecurity of Bloomington Normal. And it got me talking with the farmers, and then I got in contact with Veggie Oasis.
Simmons, who is a student at Illinois Wesleyan, majoring in business and religion, says he often leaves with up to 3 wheelbarrows full of prepared food, fruits, and vegetables.
I feel amazing about it, but I try not to put like how I feel about it into it, because it's really just something that should happen normally. So this is just something that should happen that I'm doing.
That food is then delivered to the West Bloomington Revitalization Project offices, where it's placed on tables outside for anyone to take, no questions asked. It's typically gone within an hour. Tony Maluski of Bloomington says the Veggie Oasis has given her family the chance to have a healthier diet.
It's a great help to us. It's really cut our food budget and allows us to spend money on other things that we need. It allows us to try new foods without being out much money.
The mother of 3 is often amused by what her 3 preteens want to take home and try, like okra, eggplant, and a Mexican turnip called jicama.
They pick whatever they want, and they've picked some pretty adventurous stuff, and then we take it home and we have to figure out how to prepare it and how to cook it. And we've found a lot of new things that we've tried to make part of our weekly diet, like kale chips was a popular one.
And therein lies the challenge for some families, knowing what to do with the foods with which they have little familiarity. That alone can be a turnoff. Armando Baez works for the West Bloomington Revitalization Project and has created what you would call an urban farm at his home just a few blocks east of downtown, where he grows everything from cucumbers and tomatoes to snap peas and amaranth, a leaf vegetable similar to kale. The challenge, he says, is educating families on how to prepare certain foods they may have never seen before, and to make it in such a way their children will actually eat.
That's absolutely valid. There still has to be some sort of ongoing conversation about like how to use this food, or like what's a good way to, you know, turn this vegetable into something that's tasty.
To that end, Veggie Oasis provides menu cards to aid the uninitiated and to help ensure the produce doesn't go to waste. So how big a problem is food waste in the U.S.? Aaron Kennedy, manager of the Center for Healthy Lifestyles at OSF St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington, notes that Americans spend $218 billion planting, growing, and hauling foods that never gets eaten, even though 48 million in the U.S. are food insecure.
And that's not just other states. That's right in our community, right in Bloomington, right in Chenoa, the two cities that struggle the most in McLean County with food insecurity. It's happening.
That comes from a recent study done by the McLean County Wellness Coalition, a group of business, health, and social service agencies which addresses food insecurity, obesity, and other health concerns. Kennedy says we're often a victim of our disposable culture. She says education might help prevent us from being so wasteful.
Whether it's an education or, you know, if you use the sniff test, and that's the non-educational way of saying it, but think about the sell by, use by, best by labels on foods and really understand what those mean.
A local food safety expert agrees. Linda Fouch is a food program supervisor with the McLean County Health Department.
Sell-by dates, use-by dates, expiration dates are not all the same thing. There aren't many true expiration dates based on FDA food code.
Fouch's mission is food safety, and even she says we're too quick to dispose of food. It's perfectly fine.
And I understand that, especially when you see that people die from food poisoning, foodborne illness, hospitalizations, death.
Fouch acknowledges some circles of people ignore serious food safety risks, such as drinking unpasteurized milk, which is blamed for recent E. coli outbreak at a Tennessee daycare. She adds there are no regulations against grocery stores or restaurants donating unused food to charities. One exception, she says, is state law prevents home canned goods from being served at a permitted facility because of the risk for botulism, a rare but serious illness caused by a toxin that attacks the body's nerves and can be fatal. Fouch says when it comes to taking donated food, it's receiver beware. She recently told a local pantry it should throw out a package of raw meat that was donated in a trash bag.
Garbage bags are for garbage. They're not food grade. They're made from a recycled plastic that can leach those chemicals that were in that plastic into the food.
And food waste is often a struggle for farmers. Katie Bishop and her husband Hans both left State Farm in recent years to work on the family farm known as Prairie Earth in Atlanta. She says her favorite crop is heirloom tomatoes, and the majority of them go to waste.
Up to 60% just end up in the compost or in my kitchen to use because I can't sell them because they're so fragile, they'll crack or split, and if we don't sell them, we don't have a cannery that we can just take them to process them that way.
Changes to the state's Illinois Cottage Food Act in January give producers a chance to repurpose their crops, such as canning or freezing them, or converting them into a jelly or sauce that they can sell to the public at their farm or at a market, which the bishops and the Prairie Earth staff do each week, hoping to reach an expanded and hopefully younger customer base.
I know, you're so strong.
Bishop says that has helped them salvage perfectly good produce that might otherwise go to waste. It helped them expand their business.
A second life. I might pull a little bit of the basil from the field that was meant for a wholesale customer to use in the pesto. But for the most part, a lot of this stuff is the less than perfects, the things that people don't want to buy, but are still delicious and wonderful.
Bishop says her most environmentally conscious customers will seek out the less than perfect produce because she says they know they taste best.
Our greens might have little holes in it from the bugs that have chewed on it, or the broccoli might have a little worm in it, or yeah, there's definitely a perception of a lack of quality, but I think it's actually the opposite.
Prairie Earth is in the process of creating a food hub, a giant freezer being built on its farm that'll enable it to store and distribute produce from other regional farmers who don't have the means for larger distribution on their own. And Bobby and Brandy Hansen of Normal credit the Cottage Food Act with growing their hobby into a business. They married her love of gardening with his love of hot peppers into something that took off beyond their wildest dreams.
We first started out, I thought maybe it was just a fluke, like our friends and our family are like, yeah, it's good, you know. But when people kept coming back and saying like, hey, you gonna have some sauce for us again this year? And then we're like, okay, maybe we've got something here.
The couple grows hot peppers at their farm in Leroy, but Bobby says the hottest of the hot, including the ghost peppers and vitales, are grown in their backyard, so we can keep a close eye on them. After initially exploring whether it was worth renting space at a commercial kitchen to create a hot sauce business and realizing it was too expensive, they saw the state law had changed that allowed them to sell the sauce at the Bloomington Farmers Market, where they had also been selling the peppers, but would have to throw away what they didn't sell.
At the end, we had a whole glut of, I would say a glut of other things, and we're like, all right, we can have the rest of these peppers. What do we do with them? Well, rather than compost them, we made them into a final sauce called Season Finale.
And Bobby Hansen says that means no good pepper goes to waste.
More or less, as long as the pepper doesn't die on the vine, so to speak, we can use almost every single one of them now.
Brandy Hansen says the cottage food revisions have not only helped she and her husband grow a business that she hopes will soon pay for itself, it also helps them be better stewards of their own land.
That makes me happy because it makes me sad when I have to throw a bunch of peppers away. It's like, you know, I mean, they're your children. You've raised them from seed, and now all of a sudden, oh, you're just wasting it. I mean, it just... When somebody can use that, why do that?
And Brandy admits she's more than just a hot sauce maker. She's also become a fan.
I like them hot now. I don't do like he does where I douse everything with it. But, you know, I'll eat something. I'm like, you know, this doesn't really please me. And then I'm like, I need some hot sauce.
While these efforts are encouraging to the environmentally conscious, there's still a long way to go. The U.S. throws out close to 91 billion kilograms of food per year, more than the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Italy, and Sweden combined. That's according to the 2017 Food Sustainability Index, compiled by the British kitchen retailer Magnet. But the U.S. is not the worst when it comes to wasting food. While the average American tosses close to 300 kilos of food in the trash every year, Australians dispose of more than 360 kilos of trash on average. And Sweden isn't much better than the U.S. The most conscientious about food waste were Greece, China, India, and Russia. I'm Eric Stock.
You're listening to 89.1 and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's only locally owned and operated broadcast media outlet. The theme of the show today, food. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. McLean County is one of the most productive agricultural spots in the country. But as Epiphany and Prairie Earth Farms have shown, all that fertile soil can do a lot more than corn and soybeans. A trio of young farmers wants to turn their small acreage into something big, another player in the local food movement. GLT's Ryan Denham visited Defunct's Grove Heritage Fruits and Grains, southwest of Bloomington, along Route 66.
I'm walking with Katie and Jonathan Funk and Katie's fiancé, Jeff Hake, through their 9-acre organic farm.
Our orchard that we've started is back here.
There are grapevines, corn stalks, and a young orchard. Suddenly, Jeff runs off like a kid sprinting toward his presents on Christmas morning. It's one of the pumpkins he planted, finally taking shape.
I just, seeing this on the vine like that, it's like a 6-inch fruit, so exciting. So excited.
If he gets this excited about a pumpkin, it's going to be quite a sight if the trio's big plans for Funk's Grove Heritage Fruits and Grains come to fruition. Katie and Jonathan are sixth-generation Funks, the family that turned its syrup operation into a Route 66 mainstay just southwest of Bloomington Normal. They're both deep into the family business in rural Shirley. Katie is the candy and sugar maker on top of her freelance editing job. Jonathan is a partner in the business and also farms corn and beans with his dad and cousin. Together with Jeff, a sustainable ag advocate, they want to become the next chapter in the small but mighty local food movement.
I have a long-term abiding interest in getting other people like us who are our age, who are passionate about changing the world, involved in agriculture. So getting to be that and also getting the opportunity to bring other people into the fold. That's what's exciting for me.
Heritage Fruits and Grains is a spinoff run by Katie, Jonathan, and Jeff. They started modestly in 2016 with an acre of buckwheat, then winter wheat. Not a huge surprise that one of their first products was pancake mix, perfect for all that family syrup. Here's Katie Funk.
We're operating completely separately. However, we are working very much in tandem, of course. So a lot of the things that we're growing, we know we're growing them because they'll go well with the maple syrup. And at this point, the maple syrup shop is kind of our best outlet for selling what we have. So we have the pancake mix from our wheat from last year, the wheat flour, the wheat berries, and all of that is going to go really well with the maple syrup. And the popcorn that we're growing, we know we can do like maple caramel popcorn.
The new 9-acre operation is right off Route 66. If you've ever been out to Sugar Grove Nature Center, you've driven right by it.
We were harvesting sap from in there this winter. You know, the Sugar Grove Nature Center is right down that way. The syrup shop is right over there. And we're just, like, in the middle of it, right? Like, the main intersection. It's a pretty exciting spot to be.
They're still in the experimental phase. This year, they've got table grapes on the vine, an acre of spring wheat, 2 acres of corn, a mix of Flint corn and popcorn. In the orchard are currants, apple trees, cherries, pears, peaches, almond trees, and yes, pumpkins. And Jonathan, the home brewer, is proud to say they've got an acre of two-row barley, maybe for beer.
Yeah, so experimentations will be underway, yeah, for sure.
The USDA says between 2015 and 2016, the number of certified organic farms in the country increased 11% to 14,000. U.S. farms and ranches sold $7.5 billion in certified organic commodities in 2016. That's up 23%. Funk's Grove Heritage Fruits and Grains hasn't gotten organic certification yet. One reason is it's expensive. But Jonathan, the one with traditional farming chops, says the isolated cordon-off location is perfect for their organic ambitions.
There's no chance of drift of sprays or any herbicides or fungicides.
Or pollen.
Yeah, and actually it's great for just open pollinated crops because you don't have pollen drift from other fields. Huh. It's particularly advantageous.
Katie, Jonathan, and Jeff aren't exactly new faces in the local food scene. Jeff works full-time at Prairie Earth Farm, the well-known organic vegetable farm that's a mainstay at the farmer's market. When Katie and Jonathan started kicking around the idea of starting their own thing, the Bishop family from Prairie Earth were their earliest mentors. They suggested going to the Midwest Organic Sustainable Education Service, or MOSES, conference. That's where Katie met Jeff. Now the trio has another MOSES mentor, farmer Andy Hazard from Pecatonica in northern Illinois. Katie Funk loves the community that they've found.
The willingness of people to share information is absolutely amazing, and we have just found that just about anybody that we ask for help or advice is so willing to give that to us, and that's just the community that builds is absolutely wonderful, and that's what I've enjoyed, I think, so far the most.
For Jonathan Funk, it was Epiphany Farms that made him think that any of this was possible. He took a cooking class with them at the Garlic Press. Epiphany is now a major player in not just the local food scene, but the local restaurant scene. Several restaurants open or soon to open in Bloomington Normal and Leroy. Jeff looks up to places like Suncrest Gardens Farm in Wisconsin, a so-called pizza farm, where visitors can see the tomatoes, wheat, and other ingredients before they head into the brick oven.
To know that they've been successful doing that and that they've kind of worked out all the details, worked out all the kinks, I want that. I want something like that. So we actually talk about putting an oven in here like that. But, I mean, those kinds of operations, I wish I could remember the name of the farm now, but those kind of operations are definitely inspiring.
For now, you can buy Funk's Grove Heritage Fruits and Grains products at Green Top Grocery in Bloomington and Common Ground Grocery Co-op in Urbana, or in the Funk's Grove Syrup Shop in rural Shirley. It can also be found in the menus of several restaurants and bakeries in central Illinois. Long-term, Katie, Jonathan, and Jeff are aiming for a roadside diner of their own. Katie says they'll probably start small at first, maybe brunch on some limited weekend hours.
You know, and a lot of people are traveling on Route 66, and there's not really a good place right here to stop and eat. So down the road, it might be a few or several years, but we would really like to have some sort of roadside diner here where people who are traveling by can stop and get food that we're growing right here. Or from our neighbors. and get a really good meal. And I'm sure the maple syrup will be a big part of that.
One thing they share with Epiphany Farms and Prairie Earth is young energy. Katie, Jonathan, Jeff are in their 30s and 40s. Indeed, the most recent USDA agricultural census showed that organic producers tend to be younger, with 26% under age 45, compared to just 16% of all principal farm operators. Heritage Fruits and Grains isn't quite a full-time job, not yet.
At this point, we're just fitting it in as we can and doing what we can. The hope is that eventually we'll all be able to spend a lot more time focusing on this.
Still, it's a big step toward a dream come true for Jeff Hake, the one who got so excited about that pumpkin. He's got extensive experience in organic farming and education, and he studied ag education and policy at Tufts. He's long been obsessed with plants, botany, and really the whole natural world. But he found that horticulture and landscaping on their own weren't quite fulfilling enough.
Knowing always that I wanted to be not behind a desk or whatever, I need to be out here doing these things. And if I have the opportunity to also be interacting with the public and showing them what sustainable agriculture can be like at the same time as actually working with the land, that's perfect. And here we are just about to make that happen.
GLT's Ryan Dunham reporting on the Funk's Grove Heritage Fruits and Grains Establishment southwest of Bloomington along Route 66. The farm hopes to open a roadside diner on the property in the next 5 years, crafting a classic menu that makes use of their own fruit and grain crops, plus food from other farmers across central Illinois. Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas on WGLT Normal. Our website is where you can find Sound Ideas interviews and stories with help today from Ryan Denham, Mary Cullen, and Eric Stock. WGLT.org is the first place to go to subscribe to the Sound Ideas podcast. Also look at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or NPR One. I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.